Welcome, everyone. It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Glad you're with us today and every day. It's been nearly 20 years since the Center for Disease Control announced the United States had eliminated measles. But today, we've made an about-face. From California to Texas, 20 states have reported measles cases, and the country is back on track to have the worst measles outbreak in nearly two decades. But about 65% of current cases are here in New York State, where the outbreaks are mostly concentrated in ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities in Brooklyn and Rockland County. In response, New York officials have made efforts to force residents in certain zip codes to vaccinate their children or keep unvaccinated children home. Some families have sued over the measure. New York currently allows parents to claim a religious exemption to opt their child out of the vaccine requirements. And it's just the latest chapter in a long history of fighting over vaccinations in the United States and where public health, freedom of religion, and politics converge. To help us break this down, we've got Gwen Hogan reporting on the measles outbreak in New York for WNYC, and she joins me here in studio. Gwen, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Tanzina.
And Arthur Kaplan is director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the New York University School of Medicine. Art, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tanzina.
So, Gwen, let's start with you. What is spurring these outbreaks across the country? Is it a lack of vaccinations? Is it fear? Is it how contagious this disease is? What is it?
It's a little bit of all of those things. We've seen outbreaks, like you mentioned, in many different states. Washington, California, Michigan, and then New York and New Jersey have been the largest outbreaks. Public health officials have said there is a trend towards vaccine hesitancy that comes with this propagation of anti-vaccination propaganda that's spread on social media, that's spread through books, that's spread through pamphlets. And we're definitely seeing this here in New York. Like you mentioned, 65% of the measles cases so far have happened in New York within this ultra-Orthodox religious community here.
So let's drill down a little bit there, because there are specific things happening within specific communities. What's happening in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in New York? What's that cluster all about?
It's a couple different factors. On the one hand, there has been a slight decrease in immunization rates within yeshivas in New York City, but that alone doesn't explain what's happening. This community, as one person that I spoke to described, that doesn't have traditional borders the way others do. There's family in Israel. There's family all over the globe. And so because of frequent travel to places where they're ongoing measles outbreak, somebody gets sick abroad, they bring it back, and then it spreads to others because there's a threshold of unvaccinated people within the community.
You also mentioned, when I think about people who are anti-vax, if you will, or people who are not vaccinating their children, I think about very different communities. And you're saying that a lot of the information that different communities are getting is coming from the same place?
It's a little more nuanced than that, but the movement, there is a fringe, very small group of anti-vaccination activists within the ultra-Orthodox community who are of the community, but they have links to the national anti-vaccination movement through multiple sources, and some of their propaganda that they've created for their community is influenced by other national organizations, the same information that is being spread to secular anti-vaccination movement.
Art, let's bring you in here, because we need a dose of medical ethics at this point, I think. How have we seen, or how are you seeing this moment, this outbreak addressed by public health officials?
Well, in New York, in Rockland County, and in the city, public health officials have said, look, we have the danger of a huge epidemic. We've got to get on top of it, and we've got to be tough in terms of making sure that people get vaccinated. So normally, vaccination is kind of a, you do it, and if you want to opt out on religious grounds, that's tolerated. But once you get this epidemic underway, the public officials, health department, mayors, county officials, rightly, in my view, start to say, we've got to stop this epidemic. Remember, there are a lot of people who can't vaccinate, newborns, some people due to health conditions. They're likely to get the measles and suffer a lot if they do. So we're going to up the ante and say, we're going to fine you. We're going to shut your school if you're not getting vaccinated. It's starting to put the regulatory emphasis on protecting the community, not protecting the individual's rights.
And I want to talk a little bit about that tension there, because that feels like it's really underlining a lot of what we're talking about. We got a bunch of calls from some of our listeners, and I want to play two of them so you can kind of hear where people are coming from.
My name is Joe, and I'm calling from New York, New York. I'm a strong believer in vaccination. However, I don't believe the government should force parents to vaccinate their kids. We've been arguing for decades in support of my body, my choice.
I mean, I believe in freedom of choice for a lot of things, but when you put other people in harm's way, where does it stop? What's one more regulation if it's for the greater good?
So, Art, we have two really interesting points here. We see people who say, you know, should the government force parents to vaccinate their kids? And then it's a question of, well, where does the personal extend into the public, right? What do you see, Art?
Well, first of all, I don't think the vaccine police are coming to your house to drag the kids out in the street to vaccinate them yet. That could happen if the epidemic swirled completely out of control. But now we're penalizing, closing schools, telling people they better not be in public places if they haven't vaccinated. So the way I would see the ethical balance is this. Your freedom to choose and control what happens to you is great. It doesn't extend to everything about your children. For example, a car seat. We don't care what your views are about car seats. We don't care whether you think there's a plot by car seat manufacturers to sell them to everybody. We know the evidence shows that kids are protected by car seats. You put them in there or you get a fine. And the protection of someone who can't protect their own health trumps the right to control your body. Similarly, if you're putting the entire community at risk, remember, measles is one of the most infectious diseases there is, way more than Ebola and SARS and Zika diseases we hear about a lot, much more infectious. You've got to protect the community and the vulnerable people there. So it's a tough trade-off, but I think you lean toward protecting children and protecting the community that can't protect themselves.
There are still other pieces to this equation. Gwen, in your reporting, you spoke to a mother named Esther. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
We always prided ourselves in the ability to choose what's right for our children. And it's terrible to hear that that choice might be removed from us.
Tell us about Esther.
Yeah, she was with a group of mothers who were opposed to vaccines, who were right outside this press conference last week where the city announced a mandatory vaccination rule. And they were saying their children had gotten the measles. And they said, as soon as I knew that my child was sick, I kept them home. I treated them well. I, you know, cared for them dutifully. They weren't exposing. They said they weren't exposing anybody else to the measles. But again, it's so contagious that it's really hard to know if that's the case when we live in really close quarters in New York City.
We're talking about the measles outbreaks in the United States and especially here in New York with medical ethicist Art Kaplan and reporter Gwen Hogan of WNYC. Gwen, I mentioned that New York State has a religious exemption for vaccination requirements. And Art, I'm going to ask you for your thoughts on that as well, because that does seem to bump up against what we're talking about, the greater good versus the individual. But Gwen, how does this religious exemption square with these measures like keeping kids home from school?
Well, there is this inherent contradiction, and people who study public health law say you're sending mixed messages when on the state level you say you can have a religious exemption, but then on the local level there's an outbreak, so now you can't, or your child can't go to school, or they have to stay indoors. And so there is a push now in New York to reconsider this religious exemption.
Art, your thoughts on that. Is there room for things like a religious exemption when it comes to things like vaccinations with contagious diseases?
Well, first, let me just say, Tanzina, you are able to spread the disease 4 days before you see symptoms. So I know parents say they keep their kids home when they're sick, but that's not going to cut the mustard in terms of protecting people. In terms of religious exemptions, a lot of states permit them, but I don't think they make any sense because major religions, including Judaism, don't oppose vaccination. If you looked at what Catholics and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and whoever has to say about vaccination, they're pro-vaccination. But I think that religious exemptions ought to be eliminated. They don't make any sense in terms of what religions teach, and they've led to the outbreaks that we're seeing.
So, Art, let's take this even a step further back to give it some context here. When did vaccination fighting really begin in the United States? I mean, do we have a history of this?
Oh, yeah. Long, long history. Smallpox used to be a horrible disease that, you know, wiped out Native Americans when colonialists came to the Western Hemisphere, but remained a horrible disease. And inoculation really was driven in public health by the ability to see that something that was generated from a cow, a similar disease, cowpox, could confer protection against smallpox. But manufacturing that vaccine back in 1902, it wasn't as safe. You could get sick. A lot of people worried about safety, and I have to say then, rightly so. And so even though there were mandates with the police coming to vaccinate you, literally, in cities like Philadelphia, for example, which had a major outbreak, people still said, I'm not going to do it. And we went to court, and the Supreme Court ruled way back in a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts that public health authorities do have the right to mandate vaccination.
Now, it seems as though, you know, we've gotten, as a country, we've gotten smarter about these diseases. I just mentioned at the top of the show, about 20 years ago, we thought we had eradicated measles from the United States. And yet, it seems like the anti-vax movement, if you will, Art, is even intensifying. How does that square with the science?
It doesn't square with the science. Vaccination for diseases like measles and the flu, which come around all the time and are highly infectious, you have to keep doing it. You can't let your guard down. This country's let its guard down. By the way, there are massive outbreaks in Madagascar, Ukraine, Italy, Madagascar, and they're only a plane flight away. As Gwen said earlier, you know, you can bring those diseases right back here if we're not vaccinating. The other part of the science is there are safety concerns. But again, study after study after study, the big concern is autism. It just doesn't link. There was a study actually last week out of Denmark, funded by the Danish government, of 600,000 kids over 10 years. They found no association between vaccination and autism. But those things live on the internet. They're hard to get out of people's minds when they don't know what's causing autism. So sadly, that science gets undercut.
Gwen, we've got about 15 seconds left. You're continuing to look at this story. Where are you headed next?
Well, both New York City and Rockland County will be in court later this week. And I'll be following up with a group of nurses who are sort of trying to fight the anti-vaccination propaganda within their community. So I'll be looking at that, too.
Gwen Hogan is a reporter for WNYC covering this issue. And Art Kaplan is director of the Division of Medical Ethics at the New York University School of Medicine. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.